welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Now, March is our month of the first fruits offering. You'll see on the sort of notice board on there, we're going to set aside 3 Sundays for it to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity when they're actually here on a Sunday. And we've got some new offering. I got fed up with the baskets because everything. So we have a new faith level. So when we take up the offering later, and we got 4 of these. Hallelujah. Leather. Yeah, wheelie bins are next week. Hallelujah. Oh, dear. Well, you're making it nice and easy for me. I said to some people in the week, one of the things I hate talking about more than anything else is money. I really do, because I suppose it's because you get embarrassed. You might think, Paul, embarrassed, it happens. But I just wanted to draw your attention to the welcome here, because I think this is significant with going into this month of giving, really, into what God has called us to. We went to see the agents, by the way, for the Summit building on Friday. That was me and Tony went and did that. Tony's handling a lot of this building acquisition for me. And that was a really good meeting, wasn't it, Tony? We couldn't have had better. They were very, very positive. They're taking back. They wanted us to come back with a higher offer because obviously they'd offered it 90,000 a year, and we said we wanted it free for a year and then and then pay 20,000. So there was a little bit of a discrepancy. So they said, you know, would you like to offer any more? And we said, well, no, actually, we want you to offer us more. We'd like some of the shops that are derelict around the entrance so we could tidy those up as well. So they said, oh, okay, right. They took it very seriously. I think they were a little surprised that we'd done our homework and we knew all about the place. We knew who owned it. We knew what they'd bought it for. We knew how long it had been empty. We knew what the rates were. We knew a lot of things about it. So, but it was good because they took us very seriously, actually, didn't they, Tony? It wasn't like they just wanted to try and get us to budge, but they sounded like they were very keen. So keep praying for favour. Yeah. The name of the company, and there's only a company director and a company secretary, I think, and they're over in Manchester, and they bought this property as an investment 5 years ago. And so far, it's the top bit of it's been empty, and so has a lot of the bottom bit, and they've got a mortgage, and they pay rates. So it probably wasn't a great investment for them. So we want to come in and help them. I think we need to bless them by taking it off their hands. Hallelujah. Because as you can see, we're running out of space. Yeah. And did you see the number of children that walked out with Nikki? They'd be bouncing off the walls in there. You'll probably hear them. So in this I wrote, anyway, a massive warm welcome to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. And if it is your first time here, a massive warm welcome to you. The awesome thing is we give and God multiplies. You see, now that was the believers. Hallelujah. The boy gave his loaves and fishes and suddenly 5,000 people being fed from his gift. I loved that story. But he gave everything he had. The lad had nothing left to eat and was a long way from home. Have you ever thought about that? What an incredible lad this was. I mean, in my experience of, say, 10-year-olds, they don't like giving away food to people. Especially when there's no other options. He must have been very inspired by who Jesus was. Maybe he even knew who he was. But he gave everything he had. Now that's giving. Jesus took that gift, and it became a mighty miracle that has been marveled for 2,000 years. One little 10-year-old giving his packed lunch. And you think, how many millions of people know that story? That's what God can do when you give everything you have. Amen? I'm not talking about you giving yourself into horrendous debt. That's not what we're talking about. You give in faith. And when we come to these offerings next month, if you believe God has told you to give nothing, give nothing. That's absolutely fine. There's no pressure. No pressure at all. But I will tell you, if you give what God calls you to give, and I think he's going to call us to give like the boy with his packed lunch, which is a bit scary, then you're going to be on the receiving end of blessing, just like that young lad. Well, what about him, the little boy? Did you ever think about what happened to him after giving away his packed lunch? Well, not only did he have as much to want as he could, much to eat as he could possibly eat, he'd got 12 basketfuls left over if he felt so inclined. He had far more than he could cope, far more than he could carry back home to mum. So next month, as it says here, is our opportunity to sow into Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. All right. Obviously, I'm talking mostly to the church, but also those who listen on our podcast. We're talking to them as well, because there's people that want to sow into what God's doing here, and that's exciting, isn't it? What else did I write here? Oh, yes, to sow into the vision of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, to establish a physical beachhead in Scarborough as we take hold of our new building called The Summit. March is the month of the first fruits offering, and having sown a small seed in November last year, now is the time of harvest. Amen. We gave in faith in November. Now we give from the fruit of what we gave before. And so we're going to take that offering for the new building on the Sundays. What are the dates? 14th, 21st and 28th. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, next week, hopefully, if he's around, because I haven't actually ever given him a date. Are you here next week?
No.
I'll take him behind the bike shed.
Again?
Tony's going to bring some teaching on giving, and I think that's going to be really encouraging to all of us. Okay? But that's next week. This week, we are actually going to Nehemiah. Sorry if you're a visitor, it's a bit of an in-joke. I started preaching in Nehemiah in May 2009, and then I kept coming back to it week after week, all the way up to Faith Camp, which is in August, and then I stopped, and by that time I'd only got to Nehemiah 3. And I'd always said I would go through Nehemiah, and then God stopped me preaching from Nehemiah after Faith Camp. He really did. It wasn't the time. Never came back to it. And then suddenly, at the time when God started speaking to us again, right now is the time to take a building here in Scarborough. He brought this whole passage back to me. And if you're a guest this morning, a lot of what I will talk about is going to be about us personally taking hold of the promises that God has given to us. But of course, that applies to every Christian. Okay, whether you're part of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire or not, we have promises over our lives that we need to take hold of, that we need to contend for. Because the enemy is a liar and he is a destroyer, and he loves to take away, or at least he likes to deceive us into thinking he can take away the promises that God has spoken over our life. And if he can get us wandering off down some dark alley instead of walking the glorious highway of holiness that the Lord has put us before us, we're not going to see the fulfillment of those prophetic words and those promises and the great stuff that God's put in his Bible. We won't see it because we're down some dark little alleyway with the enemy, you know? We don't want to sit amongst the dustbins. We don't want to be amongst the trash. We don't want to be covered in the rubbish. Let's throw that stuff off and walk on a holy highway. You see, because we know that when there's promises over your life, and the bigger the promises are, the more tempting that alley can be, because the more the devil wants to get you off track. Okay, but I tell you, whoever you are in this room, God's got big promises over your life. God doesn't do small promises. All right? Again, the enemy likes to con people, and you're just a little person. You don't need to worry about that. I won't tempt you down an alleyway. He just did. Because over everybody is big promises, and we need to be on that highway of holiness. We can only be there by grace. It's God that places us, but God places us when we appeal to his mercy and say, Lord, forgive me. I can do nothing by myself. Lord, forgive me and come and live in me and let me walk your way. You say, well, can you say that as a Christian? Oh, yeah. I'm always wanting Jesus to live more fully in me. He's fully in there, but he doesn't fully come out always. Hallelujah. Kate will testify to that quite strongly, as will Tom and Dan. Now, I'm not always perfect. I like to delude myself that some of you thought that. Hallelujah. So we're in Nehemiah 4 even. That's pretty good. So we've jumped over 1, 2 and 3. We're not doing a summary. And I can see you laughing, thinking I wasn't going to get there, and I am. Actually, Steve probably told her a great joke. She wasn't listening. So chapter 4 in the NIV is headed. Of course, this isn't an official title. It wouldn't have been in the original, but it's a title that's relevant. And it says, Opposition to the rebuilding. Okay? And we've got some building to do. We've got some physical building to do. We've got the spiritual gates to build, which we can't go into, or Judith will tell me off for going back to chapter 3. I just really pick on Judith this morning. I'm terribly sorry. I'll pick on Chris. Yes, it might be because you're at the front. I'll have to try another technique. I would go back to chapter 3, but Paddy wouldn't let me. This is the new technique. Pick on everybody at the back so everybody comes to the front. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, so there's three people that come up against Nehemiah's rebuilding program. And we're not interested particularly in specific people coming against us because we know that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Okay, it's against the forces of darkness. So what's the symbolic meaning of these people so that we understand? Well, Sanballat, of course, I've told some of you before that have been here, his name means the god Sin has vivified. All right? Vivified means animated like a puppet. It means someone who's living according to the flesh. Their whole guidance really system, if you like, is their own desires, their own wants, what they want. Okay, so rising up against us will be our very own flesh. Because it's so easy to blame the devil for everything. And actually, it's just that we're selfish little people. You know, or that, you know, we did something rather stupid and it doesn't work out very well. You know, we can give the devil too much glory. You know, we don't give him the glory. In fact, it's probably good a few times to say a few of the things that he did was us anyway. So he gets absolutely no credit whatsoever. But there you are. That's Sanballat. So he's representing the flesh in you, but also the flesh in others. Because the flesh in others, the worldly values, if you like, of others, comes up against us and affects us as well. When we sin in the church, if Mike goes off on a sin bender, you know, we're all affected. Oh, no, I'm not picking on people at the front. If Jimmy goes off on a sin thing, you know, it affects the whole body. So don't do it anymore. Stop it. Hallelujah. Stop it's a bit of another in-joke. Terribly sorry to guess. Now, okay, so that's Sanballat. Then you've got Tobiah. Tobiah is an interesting one because his name means Yah, or God, is my good. In other words, God is good. He's a believer. He represents believers, or almost believers maybe as well, who come against you with sort of worldly wisdom, you know, or they just don't like what you're doing. And of course, anybody in that kind of position, you can end up, Christians can end up speaking against Christians. Well, the enemy's just having a field day. He's having a party. You know, that's just what he loves when believers are against believers. And it's very precious and very valuable, isn't it, that here in Scarborough, that there's such unity amongst the churches. Yes, yes. And in fact, there is, as we say, there's only one church in this town and many congregations. There's actually only one church in the world with many congregations because Jesus only died for one church. He's only got one bride. All right, he's not coming back for many women. He's coming back for one woman, his bride. Hallelujah. And it's his bride that's going to be spotless, you know, without blemish. We'll have lost all our labels. We won't be Kingdom Faith, praise the Lord. We won't be the Baptists, the Anglicans, the whatever's. We'll just be the bride of Christ. Amen. The labels really aren't very important. Except that in each little area, God gives a group of people a vision and says, run with this. So in that sense, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire is important. The fact that it says welcome home under our name is dear to us. It's something that's precious to us. We want people to be welcome into the family so that we can run together. Yeah, a place to belong to, it says on another one of our posters. And of course, the other verse that God gave us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are safe. It's a safe place to be. It's a safe place where you can encounter the Lord, but also it's the tower from which you go out into the land to bring the good news to the land, to conquer the land with good news. Amen? But Christians can sometimes oppose that. They might think you're being whatever, okay? That's the Tobiahs. And then finally, you've got the Gershoms. All right, Gershom is the Arab, and that I don't think is particularly significant, or we're not going to take that as significance, but just from his name means rain or downpour. Okay? He's one of those ones that comes along with depression and fear and negative thoughts, and you can't possibly do that. You'll end up in incredible debt. Don't pray for people because some might not get healed and they'll be disappointed. You know, it's that sort of person. All right? That's the Gershoms of this world. So when that next happens to you, and someone's having a... you just think, oh, you're a Gershom. You are the rain. Not the good rain. The rain that just goes and soaks everything and causes floods so you can't get into Filey. Okay? Hallelujah. So you got these three. Now we're going to go from a verse that I can't quite read. I'm going to have to get the Even Jiter print Bible. I think it's verse 6. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. And I think that's roughly where we got to last time. Okay? And that really is a call from the Lord for this time. This isn't a time to be a purple chair sitter. Okay? We might not even have purple chairs in the new building. Is that theologically sound? Can we meet with the Lord without purple chairs? And purple walls and slightly paler purple walls and purple ceilings? With a blue carpet. We'll have to take the purple projector stand. For this has been in the presence of the Lord. Sorry. I'm just prodding your religious bits, you know. So if there's anything there, if anybody felt a little bit, oh, that's not like that's your religious bit, you can get rid of that right now. It'll only cause you great irritation. Anyway, this is the time to work with all our hearts. The Hebrew is it doesn't really express it enough in the English. The Hebrew there is absolutely emphatic. These people work their socks off, except they didn't have socks then, so they work their... They work their sock equivalents off. Okay? So, but when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard the repairs to Jerusalem had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, that's important. This is a time when the gaps are being closed. What are these gaps? These are gaps. Gaps are unbelief, where people don't trust in the word. It's why when you get the opportunity to be on a Freedom in Christ course, get on it. It's about closing the gaps in our lives. You know, where it's almost like where unbelief can get in or unpleasant things can get in because we don't understand how awesome and how loving our God is. Often it's just we don't understand that He is a God of love. It's the most basic lesson, and yet we really often don't understand it. And we have this picture of God with a big stick, yeah? Or we have this picture of Jesus in front of God with a big stick, so that's not quite so bad, but if Jesus ever gets out of the way, we're in trouble. But actually, God is a wonderful, awesome Father. And He says to His sons, as He said in the parable of the prodigal son, everything I have is yours. Amen? So anyway, back to the story. And so these guys, they heard the gaps were being closed, and like the enemy does in our day, when he hears that the gaps are being closed, when he hears that it's not just in the people's lives that the gaps are being closed, but we're beginning to put things together. You know, when we're meeting with people to discuss getting buildings, when the enemy begins to realize, actually, oh my goodness, they are trusting God. When the people are actually stirred to work with all their hearts, he gets very, very worried and he begins to conspire. So it says they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Now, I don't want to be a negative prophet, but just know that there's always trouble. All right? There is always trouble. It doesn't mean we've lost God. It doesn't mean He's having a day off. It's just that when trouble comes, we rise up above it. You see, a lot of people let trouble push them down when trouble is supposed to push us up to the Lord. Trouble, it's in the valley that the plants and you get the real growth, not on the mountaintops. The mountaintops, you go up Mount Sinai or Mount Zion or Mount whatever it is, or you go up to the summit. You go up to the summit of the mountain to meet with God and you encounter the Lord. But the real growth happens in the valleys. So we have to go through stuff in our lives, or we'd forever be a bit of fluff on top of a mountain. And in this room, which we talked about before, This is the house of heroes. Remember in Nehemiah 3? Sorry, Paddy. In Nehemiah 3, because I can't say sorry, Judith, because she's at the front, so I have to say sorry to you. The house of heroes is the gathering of people, and it was between the fountain gate and the water gate. It was between, it's symbolic of the fact that when people are living according to the Holy Spirit, and they're living according to the Word, they're full of the Word, they're full of the Holy Spirit, they rise up, worthy of the heroes of old. Amen? The house of heroes, it's in Nehemiah chapter 3, if you want to look it up. But we can't, because we're not allowed to. You're setting me free. Oh, no, it's not you. Hallelujah. If you are a visitor today, please don't be worried. We like to have a bit of fun. Hallelujah. As long as we're hearing God's word. What was their response? You've got it right there. But we prayed. And that really is God's awesome word. It's a very, very simple one, isn't it, for this time. But we prayed. We will not allow the enemy, even if he's trying to conspire and bring trouble against us, we will not allow him to intimidate us. The enemy always likes to work with intimidation. And he comes with sickness, and he comes with poverty, and he comes with difficult circumstances. He just comes and tries to make us think that the ordinary events of life are like a great horde of demons released upon us. They're just life. But God gives us the strength to rise up over these things. Okay, and there is a reality that we have times when we feel awful, or we're weeping and we're crying, and those are the times when as a body we come alongside and we help carry one another. I'm not talking about that we're always going, oh, it's wonderful today, brother. Yes, hallelujah, my wife died yesterday, but praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, and six of my kids got run over, but praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that. There is a reality when something horrendous hits you, or things are going on in your life, and you say, I feel terrible. You know, David did it all the time. I feel awful. He'd pray things like, Lord, go and kill all my enemies. I hate them. You know? He'd pray things like, I don't want to live anymore. You know, there's a reality of being human. But when we're feeling like that, the place to go is to the Lord. And then he helps us to overcome. It says that he turns our mourning into dancing. That means there is mourning. Okay? And he turns it into dancing. Yeah, hallelujah. Right, I'm enjoying myself now. You're not a bad bunch in this morning, better than the lot we had last week. Yeah, much better preacher last week. It was Kate, my wife, preaching last week. Okay. So, I'm wondering, what's going on here? And it's because my Bible has flicked over while you lot have been messing around. And I was reading this bit that kept saying that it's highlighted, men are coming to kill men. We are going there. Because even in that situation, Nehemiah was not going to be intimidated. We are not going to be intimidated by circumstances or sickness or poverty or anything else that's going on. Because our God is a God of victory. Yes. He's already won the victory. That's the brilliant thing about it. Okay, so anyway, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. And these are the days, church, when we're rising up and we're praying. Now, we haven't organized lots more prayer meetings because I think the church can be a right bunch of babies. And they wait for mum and dad to organise the meetings so that they can go to the meetings. And what God is doing in our day is raising up a bunch of adults who say to their other friends, let's get together and pray. I haven't got to organise it. Kate's not going to organise it. Paddy's not going to organise it. Well, he might. But because somebody's got to say something at one point. But it's getting together in our homes. You know, we had a pancake open house, didn't we? You were there. We had a fun evening, and we were having pancakes with ice cream and pancakes with lemon and sugar, and we had one room full of one bunch of people and one room full of another bunch of people. And one bunch in one room was still laughing and having fun, whilst us in the other room, we said, oh, let's pray about the new building then. I can't remember why we did. There was something that had gone wrong at that point. Anyway, God sorted it now. Sorry? I can't remember what it was, but it's sorted now. But, you know, we just prayed for a little while together, just around the table, and then we went back to just having a bit of a laugh. And actually, that's what prayer needs to be amongst us. I don't know about you, but I get fed up with more meetings and more meetings and another meeting and another meeting. Far better to have a cup of coffee with friends and then say, come on, let's pray. Let's pick up our swords. Let's just pray. You know where we are right now. Even in a coffee shop, the way to pray in a coffee shop without freaking out the coffee shop. Okay, before any of you try it, because I know some of you are that daft or that bold, and I'm not quite sure which one it is. All right? I can just see Martin and Claire now. Oh, no, I'm not allowed to pick on anybody at the front. No, no, no. Okay, I can just see Jimmy and Jennifer in roasters. Let's pray. Okay, standing up, flinging the chairs back. Come on, everybody, up we go. Osso cora marato. Well, that might have some effect. Actually, Jimmy could do that, actually. You could do that. Hallelujah. But Jennifer is the wise one and will restrain him. But, you know, while you're looking over your cup of coffee, it doesn't always have to be shouting our heads off. Although that is good sometimes to really be declaring, you know. We've got to do that as well. But we can just be looking at one another over our cup of coffee, saying, thanks God that you've given us the finances for this new building. Or you're praying for another person and you're just speaking victory into their lives. Or you're lifting up one of the other congregations in our town. You know, you're sitting there in one of the coffee shops just interceding for Scarborough Christian Fellowship or Ebenezer Baptist or St. Mary's or St. Martin's. You know, we must make sure that when we meet and we pray, we don't just pray for ourselves. That's selfish prayer. We've got to pray for the church. We've got to pray for the leadership of our town. And we've got to pray for the people in our town as well. Hallelujah. And as we do that, we will still be fighting. Hallelujah. I think this is a season that we're in at the moment, quite a narrow season, when we're often together, we will be praying for finances. Because that's where we need a great victory. A victory like we've never seen before. A victory that Jesus has already won for us, so we've just got to walk into it. But we need to be praying into that. It's like the picture of Elijah last week, waiting for the cloud, with his head between his knees. No, 2 weeks ago, sorry. Anyway, oh dear, we're not out of chapter 4 yet. And look at the time. The everlasting Nehemiah. But anyway, I purposely haven't got any notes or anything today so that we get through it. I've got some great stuff the Lord told me in chapter 6. Okay, anyway, come on, let's just rush through this. Stop holding me up, you lot. You know, I better not do that. I'm holding myself up. Anyway, forget that. Meanwhile, all the people of Judah said, now this is the people around them, their own people. Says the strength of the laborers is giving out. There's so much rubble. We can't rebuild the wall. They're getting discouraged because they've got the enemy coming against them. And, you know, there will at different times, different ones amongst us may well get discouraged. Okay? We will shoot you. I mean, no. That's the wrong talk. That's the time when we need to encourage one another and be with one another. Yeah? We will get discouraged at times and we won't shoot you. See? We're nice already. But before, our enemies said, but before they know it or see us, we will be right there amongst them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. You see, they issue these empty threats. Nobody can kill you because the Lord has allotted your lifespan. And if you're placed in his hands, you're going to live his time span for your life. That's just what it is. Then the Jews who live nearest, again, people that should be on their side, they say and told us 10 times over, whenever you turn, they will attack us. There's real fear coming in the camp. And remember, when there's fear, you're never going to make the right decisions. But you see, when you're in that kind of a place, fear seems like wisdom to those who are in unbelief. All right? So they would have thought they were being wise. They thought they were giving good advice. But because they're in fear, that seems to them like wisdom. Where unless you can only see God's wisdom if you trust in him when you're in faith. All right? So then, the Jews who lived... No, we've done that bit. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears and bows. You know, we've got to be prepared to go to the lowest points. You know, we are called to be servants after all. You know, when we said to the Lord, I'll do anything you ask, he heard us. And sometimes we get the lowest tasks, the dung gate jobs from the earlier part of the book. Sometimes some of us have to take the dung out. You know, and probably all of us will to some extent. It's this great, awesome building that God has given us, the Summit Building. It's an empty place. And it will only come alive with the people as they come and they enjoy the worship there, they enjoy the word there. But actually, much more important, get involved. You know, it's a big place to clean. But also that having the initiative and the vision to take up new ministries. You know, we want to, this building, if all it ever does is a place where we, you know, have great worship and even great word, if that's all that happens there, then we've failed. You know, I don't want a place for us. It's the Lord wants us to have a place for our community, that we can bless our community, that the facilities there are facilities that our community can use and be blessed. It will be a more permanent home for the street angels, the parent contact center, a place for children to come and have just a fun time, an area for youth where the youth angels have got a base to go out from and things like that. It's all these things that by having them we can serve our community. The church is here to make a difference in our town. It's not here to be a little club. It's not even here just to see a few people saved. That's not what it's about. It's about changing a town. It's about changing an area. It's about changing our nation. And the enemy has heard this going on in this place. And he comes in and says, oh, they're going to kill you. And he has other people around you saying, discouraging things. And all you can do is, no, the Lord has said. Okay? We're not the generation that wandered around in a desert for 40 years. Okay, there was a generation that did that, biblically. I believe there was a Christian generation that's just done that. The charismatic move came in the early 70s, and it was a move to change nations. And what happened? It changed into Anglican renewal, Catholic renewal, Baptist renewal. It changed into a church-orientated thing, which was great. The church was coming alive, but God had always intended it for it to go out. To touch others. In other words, to go to go over into the promised land and defeat the 31 kingdoms that Joshua had to face. Okay? But they looked at the giants in the land and it was too much. We need more of the Spirit. They looked at the giants and they needed more teaching. And so the church has wandered in a blessed period because they were blessed in the desert. I don't know if they walked like this, but... and they probably did a slightly bigger circle. But... they walked in the desert for 40 years, God making sure their shoes never run out, and they had amazing miracles with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, and Moses had the tent of meeting, and so the power of God and the presence of God was on all the people. It was a great time. It was the charismatic move. And the people of God, we've come back, and I believe we've crossed over. I don't think we're saying, come on, we've got to cross over. I believe we're in the promised land. And we're learning to fight and defeat and take cities back. We need marriage to be restored. There's a city that needs to be restored in our land. You know, and the Conservatives came up with a marriage proposal and then it sort of disappeared again as the enemy sort of stole it away again. But we need to restore some of these traditional values to our land. We need to restore a Christian morality in our nation. But we can only do that if we're a relevant people. Okay? The relevant people who are making a difference in their own community are the ones that can then speak out beyond their community. And we want to have a place that people can look at and say, right, I see, that's what you can do. But that takes people who will come and work just as they did here. And some of them have got to be stationed in the lowest places. You know, we need people to clean in the throne room. Some of you know what I meant. I'll give you a clue. Anyway, Nehemiah, he says, he looked things over, and I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your homes. In other words, he did what I'm doing this morning. He stood up, come on, we're going to fight for this. This is worth it. This is worth it for our sons and our daughters and our families. This is worth it for the people of Scarborough. This is worth it for the people of Yorkshire. This is worth it for the people we know in this nation. This is worth it.
Yeah.
Amen. And then it says, I love this verse 18. When our enemies heard we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. In other words, we'll give up on that one. We'll go away and think about something else. And as we stand here this morning and we're proclaiming the victory of God, you know, enemy, if you're listening, we know what you're up to, so you might as well go away.
Yeah.
Go on, disappear. That'll do. She's not getting any more credit in a sermon. Anyway, they work. They got the weapons, because we've got to get to the end of Nehemiah 4, at least. Okay? They got their weapons and they've got their equipment on both sides. And he says to the nobles and the officials in verse 19 and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out. I like that. Come on, we've not got a small vision. This work is extensive and spread out. Okay? And we were praying with the leaders. I was praying with the leaders on Wednesday and Thursday this week, so many of the leaders of our town, and they're excited about this building, praise God. That's grace. You know, they could feel threatened, but there is a unity, and in many towns there would be a feeling of, oh, what are they trying to do? What are we trying to do? We're trying to see people saved. You know, and it certainly isn't big enough to get 60,000 people in, so we need the whole team, the whole church in Scarborough anyway. Yeah, this is just going to be a base. But they were getting excited about what's happening, and there was no Sanballats, Tobias, or Gershoms amongst them. It was awesome. And we were praying about two of the other leaders from other congregations were praying that it would be a place where we could meet together as the church, and it would be a place of equipping for the church. And that's really exciting. You know, if we can serve in that way, that's awesome. Now, but this is what I was going to say to you next. There's this little verse. He's telling them about the work is extensive and spread out. In other words, they weren't always together. You know, we're not always together in one room. It's not the greatest revelation you've had today, I hope. But we're not always together in this library. The work is already extensive and spread out. All right, already our congregation spread over to Leeds and down to Beverley. Okay, it's spread out. But he says this, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Someone will blow the trumpet to say, we need you here because the enemy's attacking here. And we've got to be brave enough and bold enough and not put on a false humility enough. There must be a word for that. But that when the enemy is coming against us, we will blow the trumpet and say, I need help. Or I'm feeling discouraged. Or my toast is burnt. No, maybe not that one. We do need to blow the trumpet because we are extensive and the work is spread out, and it could be that someone misses that you're hurting. But it's not just when you're hurting, it's also when things are going well. You know, when you're rejoicing, blow the trumpet and let everybody know. There's good things happening in all people's lives. I get these stories here and there, and people say, oh, and God, and they're good stories. Blow the trumpet. You know, come and tell them. It would be good to have a few people sort of giving testimony of what God is doing in their lives here on a Sunday morning, wouldn't it? Blow the trumpet. And it says at the end of chapter 4, so we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. I mean, they were going to build this wall. This wasn't an 8-hour job, 8-hour shift, 40 hours a week thing. At the time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. This is kingdom work. Okay, this is not working for the county council. Oh, sorry, Dick, sorry. Dee, you'll get me later. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon even when he went for water. There's no time for spiritual holidays. There's no time just to go off and do your own thing. These are days when the enemy's coming against us, but these are days when we see the glory of God. These are days when we're seeing all those answers to prayers that we've been praying for years, some of us. You know, we've been contending for revival. I personally have been praying for revival since 1987. And I'm still contending. Because I don't want a move of God that's just a blessing on a church. I don't want this church just to grow to 500 people and that's it. I want something that changes a town, a county and a nation. And I believe that that's God's desire. He doesn't just want nice things for churches. He doesn't want us to have a laughing party on the floor. All right? It's time to grow up in God. We want to see all the glory and the power of God, and there may well be people laughing and falling over and people getting healed. We see that already, and that will increase. But that's not the purpose. People have got to get up from that and do something different. Yeah, not get fixated on lying in the river. If you lie in the river, you get out the river and go and make a difference afterwards. Hallelujah. Oh. Chapter 5 and chapter 6. Well, I haven't got time. Have to be another morning. Hallelujah. Chapter 6 is entitled Further Opposition to the Rebuilding. And I was going to get onto the Lord's Prayer and I had some good stuff about deliver us from evil. Oh, well. Maybe one day. But we did get Nehemiah 4 done. So next week, I can't do Nehemiah 4 either. Hallelujah. Let's all stand because we're to take up our offering.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.